Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
It's what we do. Insperity. Inspiring business performance.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame. And you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Nicole Galinas is here. I've been saying that name for almost a dozen years. She's the Sorrel Freedom Trust Fellow at the Manhattan Institute, contributing editor for City Journal, columnist for the New York Post, author of After the Fall, Saving Capitalism from Wall Street and Washington. That's a task that we need to take on, all of us. And she's our good friend, Nicole. Welcome back.
Good morning, Jim. Nice to be back.
It's good to have you back. So you've been reporting on what's going on in Puerto Rico after the hurricane.
Yep.
That island got as direct a hit of a major hurricane as any island in a long time, didn't it?
Yes, and it's 6 weeks after the storm, and only 30% of Puerto Ricans have electricity right now, which is...
Do we know why that is that to that degree? Was it that devastating, or is Puerto Rico's infrastructure that out of date?
Well, it's really both. In the rest of the mainland or the mainland, electricity companies have been upgrading their infrastructure so that it could withstand a storm. And
right.
We saw that in Houston and Jacksonville, that the power went on very quickly after Hurricane Harvey, Irma. In Houston, the power really didn't even go off.
Well, exactly. And I know a lot of people who were right where the hurricane went through, and their power didn't even go off.
Right. And where it did go off, these companies get the power up in days, not weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was a little bit surprised with Puerto Rico. I figured it'll take a week or 2 weeks, but it'll get back up slowly and steadily. But that hasn't happened. It's just been a kind of chaos.
But some of it is manpower. I mean, boots on the ground. And what we also see, and this is one of the problems with living on an island, what you also see, if you travel... If you go within a week or two, you go to any of these hard hit areas, you're going to see electrical trucks from all over the region.
Right.
You're going to see hundreds of trucks and people coming in to help these people recover. You can't do that on an island.
Well, what power companies do is after a storm, just like the storms that we saw in Massachusetts over the weekend, where they put up 1.2 million people out of power. They request mutual aid, and that
right.
If I'm a power company in Florida and I've got an outage that's affecting 5 million people, like after Irma, I go out and I say to all of the other power companies in my power association, which can include all the for-profit companies in
right.
the country or all the non-profit companies in the country, depending on what association you belong to, and you could just make a call and... The crews from all of the rest of these power companies, they'll bring their trucks, they'll bring their equipment, and they'll come and set up shop for a few weeks, and they'll help you fix your power. You'll
mm-hmm.
put up new poles, put up new wires, and then they'll go home. So it works very well. And how is this reimbursed? Sometimes
But regardless of all that, Nicole, they only have to drive there.
Well,
it wouldn't matter. I mean, Puerto Rico could put out all the requests they want, but you can't drive to Puerto Rico, and they're not going to put these trucks on ships and men drive them over there. I don't think they're going to do that, are they?
Well, first of all, I'll tell the listeners how they get reimbursed, because people might be wondering, well, maybe people just didn't come because they were worried they were going to get paid,
right.
which is almost a bigger
because Puerto Rico is bankrupt.
Right, but this. Very early in the process, the federal government said, we'll reimburse 100% of the power recovery costs. That was never an issue, just going back to the
right.
first couple of days. The real problem here is that the Puerto Rican power company never asked for mutual aid, and no one can figure out why. And, and you mentioned the logistical problem of how do you get people to an island. Of course, it's difficult, but it's not impossible.
It's not impossible,
The power companies were thinking about how we can do this.
Put these people on barges and get them down there. But are you saying, let me make sure I understand what you're saying. You're saying that that Puerto Rico, the government, did not ask for the kind of help that Fort Lauderdale would have asked Tampa for, that kind of thing?
No, the power company did not ask for this aid.
Anybody know why?
Not really, and there's some odd things going on. You know, first of all,
this reminds me a little bit of New Orleans. You know, New Orleans, Louisiana, New Orleans, the Bush administration got blamed for a whole lot of stuff that was basically the dysfunction of New Orleans and Louisiana.
Well, on the power issue, it wasn't dysfunctional. New Orleans' power company.
I'm talking about the overall situation, not just
right. But on the power issue, mm-hmm. Entergy, which was their for-profit power company, they asked for mutual aid. They got it, and they got the power system up and running. It took a month, but they made steady progress over that month, and so it was ready in a month. And so the power recovery went the way that it was supposed to. And there's, you know, we've got cruise ships, we've got, the airplanes. I mean, New York City and state have been sending sanitation crews,
right.
Building inspectors.
What do you see? What is the long term scenario for Puerto Rico over the next six months to 5 years? What do you think?
Well, one of the problems is who was in charge of this power restoration, and there's been a lot of discussion of this. A company called Whitefish, where the
right.
Puerto Rican Power Authority signed this $300
right.
million contract.
With a two-person company.
Right, a very small company out of Montana. You know, the son of the
right.
Interior Secretary worked there last year.
Right.
And a very odd contract all around. But then Puerto Rico canceled it over the weekend after a lot of outcry. And so then they went back
right.
to square one, and they finally did ask for mutual aid, but they just asked for it yesterday. And the other issue is the Army Corps.
So you're saying the key to Puerto Rico's recovery, obviously. I mean, it makes complete sense. You're saying all things lead back to power.
Right.
The recovery, you can't recover if you don't have electricity.
Exactly. And it's made the humanitarian crisis.
Right,
a lot
it
worse.
Is. Yeah.
But the other issue is the Army Corps of Engineers, way back on September 26th, just the week after the storm,
right.
6 days after the storm, the Army Corps put out some press releases and said, we're going to be in charge of the power recovery.
Right.
We're going to take the lead in power repair.
Right.
That never happens.
That's almost like a taking over, the state taking over. Did they do that? Have they done that?
Sort of.
Okay, well, I'm going to get you to finish that report after this break. Folks, very interesting reporting here from Nicole about what's going on in Puerto Rico. And the reason why we should care about it is because the cost is probably...
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.